Greetings. I'm Noel Deere. Welcome to today's Daily Devotion. I hope these next few minutes will encourage you as you seek to learn God's Word and abide with Christ. Our focus today is John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. And if you've been with us in recent devotions, you know what the setting here is. Jesus is in Jerusalem. It is during the Feast of Tents or the Feast of Tabernacles, and he continues this long section of teaching that went on for a number of days, and we call this section the Temple Discourse. Now, one of the things to know about this festival that'll be important for today's passage is that apparently each night of the festival, with the exception of the Sabbath, I'm sure, but apparently each night of the festival, they lit huge lamps in one of the temple courts. And this lamp was so bright that the light of the lamp could be seen throughout Jerusalem. It is said that it cast shadows in every court space in Jerusalem. So this was a commemoration. This was a reminder of the pillar of fire that led the Israelites in the wilderness. And so they lit this lamp. They remembered that. They were thankful for that. And it is against this backdrop that Jesus says the things that he says in these verses. So let's look at verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows after me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, we'll spend most of the time in this devotion in this one incredible verse. There's so much here. He begins with the words, I am. Now, this is the second time that we see this in the Gospel of John. All total, we'll see it seven times. Jesus uses these I am statements to identify himself as the Son of God. Do you remember the first I am statement? A few chapters earlier, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, what does he mean? I'm the light of the world. Well, I'll give you three quick things. First, Jesus is claiming to be God. Throughout the Bible, light symbolizes God and the holiness of God. I think of how Psalm 27 begins. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So number one, he's claiming to be God. Number two, Jesus is claiming to be the Savior. The Savior. We'll read Isaiah 49:6 in just a moment, but I'll tell you now that that verse says that God will send a light for the nations to rescue sinners. Jesus is the light who comes to rescue. He is the Savior. And then number three, this tells us as he says, I am the light. He tells us that he comes to reveal truth. One Bible writer, Bible commentator, I should say, that I read this week said this, Jesus Christ alone brings the light of salvation to a sin-cursed world. To the darkness of falsehood, he is the light of truth. To the darkness of ignorance, he is the light of wisdom. To the darkness of sin, he is the light of holiness. To the darkness of sorrow, he is the light of joy. And to the darkness of death, he is the light of life. And so he is the light of the world. Let's look at that phrase, of the world. What does he mean with that? Well, he is the light, not just for the Jewish people, but he is the light of the whole world. I said earlier I would read Psalm 49:6, and let me do that now. It says, it is not enough for you to be my servant, raising up the tribes of Jacob and restoring the protected ones of Israel. I will also make you a light for the nations to be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus came to save all peoples. And then it says, follow. He says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me. Jesus is not just identifying himself as God. He is commanding people to follow him. And then he speaks of darkness. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus, not only is he the light, and we look to him as the light, but he also illuminates the way for believers. It's not just that when we look to Jesus, we see the light. It's also that when we look to the world, when we look to our lives, the light of Christ changes what we see. We see things with greater clarity. I love what the writer C.S. Lewis said. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, S-U-N, the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. What an incredible verse, verse 12. But let's continue to read. Verse 13 says, so the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself, so your testimony is not valid. Notice how obstinate and determined unbelief is. Jesus performed miracles unparalleled in history. He spoke with authority that they had never heard before, yet they refuse to believe. Look at 14. Even if I testify about myself, Jesus replied, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. Now, when Jesus spoke, not only was he testifying about himself, but God was also testifying because Jesus was performing these miracles. There was no other explanation for the miracles other than Jesus was God and God was with Jesus. Look at verse 15. You judge by human standards. These are the words of Christ. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Now, this verse is a little more difficult to understand. There are really two ways to look at this, and it means one of two different things when he says, I am not judging anyone. He may have meant that he did not judge according to the flesh in some superficial or external way like the Pharisees did, or the Lord may have meant that he did not judge anyone yet, since God, quote, did not send the Son into the world. This comes from John 3:17. God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In the future, however, Jesus will judge. And we saw that in John 5:22, where it says, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. So Jesus says he's not judging, but it means he's not judging in the way that they were judging, and he is not judging at this time. Jesus has come to save, not to judge. Verse 16, and if I do not judge, my judgment, or I'm sorry, I read it wrong. Verse 16, and if I do judge, my judgment is true because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father and the Father who sent me. So Jesus, the Son, and God the Father are always in sync. Verse 17, even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself. The Father who sent me testifies about me. So Jesus testifies about himself, and through his miracles, as we said earlier, the Father also testifies to who Jesus is. Verse 19, then they asked him, where is your Father? You know, Jesus replies, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. They just refuse to get it because they refuse to believe. Jesus, though, once again, draws a line between himself and the Father. To truly know one is to truly know the other. And then verse 20, he spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So Jesus is perfectly in control of the timing of his ministry. Let me give you, before we close, just one quick praise prompt. Praise the Lord today for his goodness. The Lord is good through and through, and aren't we thankful for that? I'll give you a couple of verses. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of distress. He cares for those who take refuge in him. So praise the Lord today for his goodness. Psalm 119:68, you are good and you do what is good. Teach me your statutes. Praise the Lord today for his goodness. Friends, thanks for watching or listening. If you're on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. On your favorite podcasting app, just search for Pastor Noel's Daily Devotions. I hope you have a great day as you endeavor to abide in Christ.